Welcome, Dragoneers and Fate and Fable Maidens fans, to D&D in Big D, where we put the dragon in D&D. We're a group of seasoned folks who play through published adventures, then review them in a post-mortem. Stay tuned, as we will also be inviting special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other nerd celebrities out there. Hello, this is Thok, your half-orc druid beer brewer. In this one-shot adventure, we will be playing through Warriors of Sejanine by Florian Emmerich, Ashley Warren, and JVC Perry. Warriors of Sejanine is available at DM's Guild. Our special guest PC is Jordan Sanders, the voice of Adina from Fate and Fable Maidens. You can follow her on Twitter at SassyWithSander. Now, pack your adventuring gear, get your snacks ready, and prepare for some impressive role-playing as we listen to Warriors of Sejanine by Florian Emmerich.
Well, Jordan, very nice to have you here with us right now. And
thank you so much for having me, too. I'm super excited.
Well, good. I'm glad. Thank you so much for being on my little tiny podcast in comparison.
It's great. I love it. I'm ready.
So how did you get started on streaming?
So Renee Rhodes, who is Fate and Fable Maidens, I actually went to college with. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of run around in the same friend circles. And she looked at me one time. I had been going to a side quest night here in Lubbock. And she looked at me one time and was like, Jordan, you would love to stream. Can I get you involved in streaming? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So she totally contacted Scraticus Academy, which is on Twitch, and it's amazing.
Yes.
And they put me in a game and I loved it and they liked me. And so they brought me back for a campaign doing Dark Matter by Mage Hand Press. And it just kind of kicked off from there. I just kind of dabble.
Right on.
I don't even know who I was before I got into D&D. I look back on those times, those are dark times.
Wow.
It's so good, though. And the community is really awesome. And it's just, it's a good place to be.
It really is. So then you start off with Strategus, and then you just got picked up by Renee from her knowing you?
So I'm really good friends with Samantha Turley, who plays Twiddle, and also Renee. And so I was kind of hanging around Samantha at the time, and I just was kind of there for a lot of it. And they got to, I've always been a theater kid, and I have a music degree. So I'm very into the arts, into acting and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they just got to see me play, and it worked out really well because I get along with all of them really well. And they thought that I had the skills to fit in, which was really amazing because I fangirled so hard when I was ever in it. So I just kind of was one of those situations where I happened to be in the right place at the right time with the right set of skills. And it's been an absolute blessing. I'm living my literal dream. It's fine. I'm so happy, and they're just great people and great to work with. And
talk about fanboy moment.
It was so bad too, because I was such a fangirl. I'd listen to the episodes, and then of course they do the episodes, so they know what's going on, and I would literally go and sit on Samantha's couch and just fangirl for hours, and she's like, I know, Jordan, I know, I was there.
That's great.
Great.
Oh, my goodness. When I had Renee on here, and I was like, here's my show, so let's go ahead and start playing. And I totally just bypassed this entire interview that I had lined up for her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, and then in the midst of it all, I'm also trying to, play the game. We get through the game, and I ran out of time, so we didn't even have a chance to do the postmortem with her either. So I'm like, oh, no.
Oh,
but
man.
Just understandably so. She's a very busy person, and it was a real big treat for me to even have her on the show. I'm just great. Yeah, but anyway.
She's one of those people, when you're in her presence, you just have to, take a minute and be in awe, because, she is powerful. Get it, girl. I love her. I literally was texting her before. I actually talked to her on the phone today. So
oh, really?
I love her to death, but yeah.
So what'd she say? You're not going to go on that show, are you? What a waste.
No. I messaged her when y'all reached out, because I like to do a little bit of researching before I super commit. And she was a huge fan and was like, do it, like, go for it. They were great. So she had a really good experience on here. And
really?
Loved y'all. Yeah. It was good.
Oh, wow. I'm trying not to fangirl right now so much.
Yeah. Just fan yourself. Just fan yourself.
Yeah. Live that moment. Embrace it.
Hold on. Deep breath.
I need a moment.
take them all.
That is awesome. Yeah. I mean, because honestly, this was just like an afterthought of like, hey, why don't we just put a podcast together?
Yeah.
And it's literally, I'm like this all. I mean, people that I have that I've started playing with, man, if I can have words now, geez, Louise, you just really floored me with that one.
Oh dear, I've left you speechless and we haven't even started.
I know, you just stumped the DM without even trying. Holy cow.
Mobby.
Yeah.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. I'm so excited. Like, yeah, no, I'm ready. Oh, awesome. All the sparkles.
So much to live up to now.
What?
Not really, just keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thanks. Seriously.
You don't have to live up to anything, you're already there. Breathe.
Oh boy, we know what we're playing. Jordan, we're playing Warriors of Sehanine. Yeah, the story is actually an adventure for like level 5 players, and from what I gather, it's supposed to take anywhere between 12 to 16 hours to complete. And since we're not going to have that much time, I decided to bulk everybody up to level 8, see how far we could get.
Yeah, let's do it.
So it was written by Florian Emmerich, who one day just said, hey guys, I don't know who to send this to, but here it is. And then it's also written by JVC Perry, as well as Ashley Warren. Just reading over the story, I'm going, yeah, y'all are going to have some fun.
Woo, I love this.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so first up, let's go with Jordan. Please introduce your character.
Hi, I am Marnie. You don't need to know my last name. That's an aesthetic. I am going to be playing an Osimar, who is an assassin, but also a bard. We don't talk about it. She is, what is that called? Like, I don't remember what it's called, but the type of Asimar she is, she has like really bold black wings that are feathered, and she is kind of gray-skinned and does have horns almost like a tiefling. And then she just, yeah, she's got an all black aesthetic, kind of strange for an Osimar style. But yeah, that's Marnie.
Okay, I seriously want to know a little bit of history on that. Holy cow.
I get a little excited when I'm making characters, but do you want that right now, or is that a later thing?
Go for it now. You have the floor. You're the guest.
Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, really, truly, she is kind of an interesting character because she is an Osimar, but she doesn't really fit into that kind of mold. She is there to do good things. I don't know how to pronounce it. I say Diva. It's not Diva. It's Deva or whatever. For the Osimar, like, sub-segment, which is pretty much that they are there to send messages from the gods. And so she's lived this whole life where she's really pretty much been on her own. She does have parents. They are good, but she was like, bye, Felicia, as soon as possible, being the little rebel that she is. But she does send messages from gods, but she's also very feisty and sassy, and sometimes she doesn't understand why she's sending those messages, but she does it anyway because it's what she's supposed to do. And yeah, she's just a little edgelord. It's fine.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so from here on out, it's going to be called Diva. It's now become canon as part of our lore.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
You're welcome. I'll be here.
Yeah. Just like the Matergy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jordan. So what happened when it was our first session, one of our players was casting Thaumaturgy and mispronounced it. So now from here on out, it's Thaumaturgy.
That's amazing. I love that. I'm going to have to steal that. That's going to be a thing.
Alrighty. Next up, let's go with Kitty.
Oh, goodness. I called that one. All right.
We can do Jake. That's cool, too.
No, I got this.
Okay.
She's got this.
So this is Kika. Kika Woundkiller Kalagaga.
Kika.
I came from the mountains, and I kind of looking for my family, but at the same time, I got other stuff I want to do. So, kind of looking for my family, but I'm more just looking to bring honor and glory to the Kalagaga tribe. Yeah.
And Jake, you have the floor.
All right, just give me a second.
Need some water?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but not right now.
Hello, you can all call me Yvette. I am the Stone Shade, and you can probably tell that it's a little bit unusual for a Goliath of my size and stature and sexiness to be a rogue type, especially a thieving one, because how do you hide somebody that's 7 feet tall behind a little tree? I tell you very carefully.
I am 7'8". You can hide behind me.
Oh, I can hide behind all these things. It's all good.
I might like you.
I think I might like you too.
This is getting really, really weird.
Which is it not?
It's true.
This is all acting theory here, so
yeah,
explore the space.
This is like Whose Line Is Anyway, D&D edition. Amazing.
Okay, this is the direction we're going. Excellent. So everybody is on the road to Baldur's Gate, and lo and behold, through the bushes, you see two humanoid shapes, and they're riding a couple of mounts, and a third mount is being pulled behind them with another body that's another shape that's kind of slumped over. What do y'all want to do?
What's happening?
Is that you in character, or is that you...
No, that's me in character. Is anyone going to reply to Kika?
I think Marnie's just like staring at what's going on. She's not going to respond. She heard, and it's not like I think she's trying to figure it out too. And so she doesn't know what to say. So she's just staring.
Okay.
So, well, considering the fact that this is happening in broad daylight, I'm thinking that this is just another bounty haul that's just come in to collect on their winnings. So I'm just going to walk up to these people and I'm just going to be like, hi, guys.
No,
is there anything I can do to help?
This is like brutal. Oh, my God.
Nice intro, dude. Very nice. So, two of them, the ones that are sitting up more upright, are staring at you with this look of fear. Not necessarily from you, per se, but just something that was in the woods behind them. We need help. We need help right now. Please, please. You need to help our friend here. She's very much wounded. She lost her arm. Please. Do y'all have any kind of health or any kind of medical gear? She's losing a lot of blood. Please. And you look over, and sure enough, that third one slumped over, and you can see it's totally missing an arm, and just that whole side is just bleeding out. They put a tourniquet on there, so it slowed it down, but she's still very much in dire need. What do y'all want to do?
So let's see, are there any guards around? I'm just going to roll a perception check here.
Guards or gods?
Guards.
Okay.
You know, the little people with the, you know, little statuses that makes them sound like they're police types.
All right, roll it.
Rolling perception. Oh, that's a natural one.
No.
Off to a great start.
With that role, you assume you are a guard.
I am the guard. I am here to help. So I can just point you in the right direction. What you want to do is you want to go down that way a few blocks, and then you take a nice, long, hard right, and then you go left, and then you go left again, and then you go right. And
we don't, we don't have clinic. Time. We don't have time. Please, please. And at that moment, she starts slumping over and falling over off of her mount.
No, you can't do this. You have to be stronger than that.
I can cure wounds.
Marnie's eyes have shifted from the person injured now to Kika. Like, just very wide-eyed. And if I can catch the lady as she, like, slumps off her mount, I would like to.
Okay. Do an athletics check.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be an 11.
With an 11, she's falling quick. You're able to get underneath her and support the weight. And with an 11, you're able to at least lay her down comfortably on the ground. And Kika, what did you want to do?
I can cure her wounds. Kika has a first level cure wound spell.
All right, go for it.
It's instantaneous. So Kika goes ahead and lays her hand on the injured person and focuses on healing.
Give us the mind picture here. What does it look like?
I'm trying to envision it myself. My brain's so fried. I'm sorry. Ah, goodness. Not very creative right now. So Kika's hands look like they are a mixture of mossy green and mud brown. Just naturally that color from years of dealing with different kinds of plants that have stained her fingers. And there's a slight vibration, almost like just a wiggling of energy that writhes out over the wounds and starts to heal them up. Is that good enough? I don't know.
That's pretty damn good, actually.
That's
holy
really
cow.
Good.
Oh, God, my head hurts. I need more
and
stuff.
Here I am cheering her on. Just, yes, girl, lay hands.
Slammed down my orange soda.
You know, it doesn't help that I recently saw Father of the Bride, and in that one, Martin Short has that same accent, dude.
Oh, and yeah.
Tremendous job doing it, man. You're doing terrific, man. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I'm so tired.
Oh, Blazing Saddles. I get it. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Nice. That's the other one.
Well, you're no Madeline Kahn, but I'll give you that one.
I'm doing my best.
All right, so we're going to fast forward a little bit here because, again, we have a whole lot of stuff to get through. So you quickly find out that Leah is the one who is slumped over. The other two people are Alar and Fivin. They tell you that they are all warriors of Sehanim, and Alar and Leah are the leaders of this merry band of warriors. They are elves, half-elves, an elvish type of community. They were living in Ravenglade Keep. Problem is that this ginormous black dragon has pretty much kicked everybody out, slaughtered most of their people. Not to say that they didn't injure this dragon. They did put a whole lot of pain, but the dragon still lives and has made its home there at the keep. Leah starts going hysterical after she recovers from your cure wounds. She's begging and pleading the three of you that her two children were left behind. She turns around to Alar, starts blaming him, swears at him up and down. It's your fault. It's your fault. If I would have just stuck around, I would have been able to pick them up. Turns around to the three of you. Please, our keep, we've lived there for centuries. Whatever treasures you find, they're yours as long as you bring back my two kids. Please, my children are all that I have. I beg of you to help them. Take our riches if you must, but please, just find it in your heart to rescue my two children. And then she passes out.
We go find children.
Looks like we're going after a dragon, Marty says.
And his horde.
Well, there is no horde, it's just the dragon.
Oh, then why am I doing this all right for the children? I can do that.
We do have four children for the kids.
And so, let's see, with that, let's say the other two start sharing information. They say they're a band of elves who have made a home at Ravenglade Keep. Yeah, Alar, Leah. Leah lost her husband in the battle that ensued. So the two children's names are Fain and Cillin, or Silin, S-Y-L-L-I-N. Cillin, I like Cillin. Sounds cuter. And all you know is that they're trapped somewhere in the keep. So a fae spirit lives in the woods. It manifests as a pale blue spectral fox with three tails and is likely to help y'all on your quest. Another thing that they tell you is that a strange druid lives in the forest near a swamp. She seems harmless and may be able to help all three of you. Also, they tell you about the ruins of Vehalar. The ruins of Vehalar. And they're in the northern reaches of the woods. Although they're deserted, there may be items there that could help the three of you. There's a decimated band of orcs probably still roving the forest. And they kind of go a little bit more detail about that. They left the keep to go take care of like this band of orcs that were making their way through. They were just in their realm, and they wanted to make quick work of them. And so they decimated a lot of their numbers, but there are a few of them still left roaming around when the attack ensued from the Black Dragon. And so you might see a little band of elves, orcs out there. The three of them had to jump from Ravenglade Keep into the waterfall to escape the dragon. And so the dragon probably believes that the three of them are dead. During their flight, they saw that the dragon raised the only way to ascend or descend the keep, leaving the kids trapped. So they know that the kids are, in fact, in the keep somewhere. They do assume that Cillin will try to hide in the library since she loves all the old books within, and Fane is probably trying to protect her as always. And the funniest thing, they tell you that they see a strange glowing orb seems to be floating around the dragon's head as they were fighting it. Every now and then, the great worm would pause as if listening to the thing. And that's where we will begin this quest. So let's see, you're going into the Wood of Sharp Teeth. Stretching out before you is the home of the wounded elves, the Wood of Sharp Teeth. As if the name alone is not ominous enough, the twisting roots of swamp oaks and trailing limbs of black willows make the forest impenetrable. Worse still, you know for a fact that a dragon resides within. Oh, hold on a second. Marnie, Kika, and Yvette, everybody roll me a d20.
I rolled a 1.
Oh, I rolled a 6.
Wait, can I save that? Wait, can I save myself?
No.
No saving.
Yes, Finn, I got myself a 4.
Oh my goodness, we are off to a great start.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Okay, Alar takes out a longsword and hands it to Kika. Says, this is Moonpetal.
Oh.
It might help y'all slay Duskbringer. It's a +1 longsword with finesse. So instead of using your strength, you're going to use your dexterity to use this this weapon.
Okay.
It's a fancy blade you got there.
I like Moonpetal.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he says he has no qualms with parting with any treasures that y'all find. So in the forest, there are several different encounters that you will encounter. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to do the quick version of all these guys. Marnie, roll me a d20, or no, correction, yes, a d20, please.
All right, that is a 17.
17, ooh. You know, go through the woods halfway through the day and the sun begins to set. While you make camp, you see a cheeky howl of glee awakens you from your sleep. As you're dozing off, you blurrily open your eyes just in time to see a phantasmal blue fox bounding away into the undergrowth. As it pads between the undergrowth, you notice its three tails and the trail of blossom and petals that seem to erupt in its wake. As you come back to your senses, you realize the mischievous fae being that has something familiar looking before its paws. Before you can react, it picks it up and bolts away. Marnie, you move very quickly, chasing after the fox, kind of leaving everyone else behind. You put on a burst of speed and manage to catch up with the impish fox. As you near, you leap forward onto the creature to pin it to the forest floor. Just as your arms close around the creature, it vanishes, leaving you sprawling in a burst of fragrant blossoms, clutching your stolen treasure. You hear a coy yip from across the woods. Looking in its direction, you see the fox, tails wagging in joy, nuzzle at a bundle on the ground. It pushes the parcel gently, then looks you dead in the eye before disappearing once again in a puff of petals.
Marnie will say, whoa, and then look back to see if my friends are coming or if they are not there yet. And then I will go ahead and pick up the thing.
Okay. Let's see. You pick up that parcel of huge leaves, clearly not from this forest. And when you unwrap the bundle, it reveals a cache of weapons made from wood, stone, and living plants. These weapons will match those the characters that normally use, save for the unusual material and sylvan imagery. While you're in these woods, these weapons count as +1 weapons.
Sweet.
And then, I guess a little bit more flavor here. When leaving the woods, the weapons' appearance seem to shift to pointless sticks and rocks, loosely bound with vines, and count as improvised weapons.
That's pretty cool.
Wow, that is pretty cool. All right, and next up, Kika, roll me a d20.
I rolled a 2.
That's okay. And that's really just for all of this stuff going on with the encounter tables. So with a 2, the rest of the night goes as quietly as possible. No encounter whatsoever. And Yvette, please roll, ma'am.
Oh, and it looks like I got myself a 15.
Yeah, seriously. If we were to play this, I can see how it would last that long, because y'all can just keep rolling different encounters every single time. Just keep hitting you over and over and over again. This is a lot of stuff. That's very impressive. So this encounter is closely linked to the ruins of Vehilar. Echoing through the woods ahead is a clanking sound, occasionally peppered with the yapping of some small creatures. Peering through the trees ahead, you notice a band of kobolds headed in your direction. A hobbling, elderly creature leaning heavily on a walking staff leads the pack. Behind it, several of the other kobolds carry what looks to be a battered old rowboat, but is clearly filled with something that catches the gloaming. So, as a quick look, you see that it's 7 kobolds, and it seems like they're leading some kind of procession. Looking at the map that you were given, you can tell that they're on their way to Ravenglade Keep to pledge their service to the Black Dragon. In the rowboat, you can see that there's quite a bit of wealth on there. 12 GP, 28 SP, 72 copper, a pair of battered brass goblets, a small mirror with a finely carved frame, a shield set with blue quartz stones, and 2 potions of healing. The shield is also filled with a heap of worthless junk the kobolds deem to be treasures. And some of the other kobolds are dancing around in glee.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, let's do a quick history check from everybody. Not all at once, guys.
From Kika. Sorry.
No problem.
I'm gonna switch between windows.
16 right. For Marnie as well.
Yvette got a 19.
Show off. Girl. Show off. Okay, well,
I have no fear. This is what I do. I just know things.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just...
Yeah, well, I set the DC to 7, so all of y'all passed. So with that, the history check, y'all know that kobolds tend to look for leadership because they are unable to lead themselves. And what y'all can determine is that if y'all don't intervene in some capacity, then not only will you be dealing with the dragon, you will now also be dealing with 7 extra kobolds.
Marnie is going to crack her knuckles and go, well, I think we know what we have to do.
What are we doing?
Well, I mean, like, they're going to just, you know, follow in suit with the dragon. So, I mean, I was assuming, you know, like, you know, get rid of them.
Should we get rid of the dragon?
Isn't that what we're doing? Did I sign up for the wrong road trip?
Oh, no, trust me. Getting rid of the kobolds is going to really help us with the dragon, especially if they turn up with no treasure to offer to their new overlord. He's not going to be very pleased and just might gobble them all up.
You know, thought for later, what if we keep the dragon as a pet?
I was thinking that.
I like that idea.
That or seeing if it has a nest.
Oh, we could have baby dragons! And Marnie starts doing like this happy dance in the middle of the forest with the scary kobold things.
Let's see, roll for performance.
Oh, yeah.
Is that me too?
Oh, man.
Are you dancing with her?
Sure. This will be fun. Yeah.
I just rolled a nat 1.
She's quite excited.
Oh, well, that's an 11 minus 1 for performance, so a 10.
I'm supposed to be better than this.
So explain the little dance that you're doing.
So it's like, you know... It's really beautiful. Do you want me to explain what it's supposed to look like?
Yes, so that yes. I can base what Kika does.
So she's jumping up and down, like with her hands and fists, like pumping them up and down in the air.
I don't even know the best way to describe that.
And really just like having a little heyday, you know. She's going to have a baby dragon. It's going to be great.
Kika decides that she's going to try to do her best to imitate the move and just lifts her giant leg up and slams it down to where the ground kind of sinks a little bit. And she pumps one fist up and then stomps the other foot and then alternates with the other hand and just kind of does it slow Frankenstein style because she's never danced in her entire life. But
yes.
She's on beat. She's just slow. So.
Yes, and while they are doing that to distract the kobolds, I'm going to be in super sneaky stealthy mode and then I'm just going to try and jack all of their trinkets and odds and ends and that sort of thing.
Okay, roll for stealth.
Rolling for stealth.
Can I try? No, I'm too busy dancing.
Yeah,
I'm dancing.
Oh, and that's going to be a 25.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so they rolled a 15 for perception.
Yeah.
Oh, so they turn around and they see the dancing going on and they're like, the fuck? In the middle of this forest? That is so out of place. Hey guys, look over here. You see this crazy, I don't know what's going on. And so they put all the cargo down as they start slowly start making their way over to the dance. And then something happens where the seven of them begin trying to mimic what they see. And it's all done like involuntarily too, because they're just like, oh yeah, ooh, nice.
They've never seen a Goliath at 7'8" trying to dance,
or an Asimar for that matter too.
With like this is a sign from the gods.
And that's how they're treating the both of you. They're trying to pay homage to the two of you.
Oh no, maybe we could have them as pets too.
Maybe. Let's just convert them all.
You can be my minions. It's fine.
I am your gentle giant.
Okay, roll religion.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I rolled a 7.
I rolled an 11.
Not that convincing.
They rolled a 3. They are convinced.
Yeah,
best day of my life, Marnie says. Do you have children?
What, the kobolds?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we were looking for the queen, but we can see that we were wrong.
Yeah.
What do you ask of us? We shall do.
I want a baby dragon, Marty says.
So for the next, I'd say a few hours, y'all come up with a battle with this excellent strategy. What is it?
Get the baby dragon.
No, you got to really be specific with these people if they roll a 3 on religion.
Yes.
really spell it out for them.
Yeah, literally.
What do we want them to go do for us, guys? Because this is a good opportunity.
Yeah, you say baby dragon, they're going to take the smallest kobold and put a diaper on him.
Oh, no. This is not what I asked for.
I don't know if it applies to the happy accidents.
I literally, Jordan's having an issue because Marnie literally has gone so off topic on what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be saving children. Marnie just wants a baby dragon now.
Well, I mean, technically the elves did say anything to keep is yours.
Well, Kika doesn't have any intelligence whatsoever. She's at a +0. So she's just like, I know it's about children. So all she cares about is that there's going to be a child involved in some form. She doesn't quite remember if it's that lady's or dragons. She knows that she's supposed to procure a child.
So this game just went from super serious to like, holy crap.
This is a shit show.
I'm sorry.
These are the
I give up.
This is exactly
the
sparkles
a good we spread.
Yes. It's how you can make it different.
Yes.
Experience.
We're the what not to do. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
that isn't bad to display.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to give away too much. We had one session where we busted out chainsaws. Just FYI.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, you never know what could happen. This could definitely work out for us.
Faux show.
Oh man, like- Chuckles enjoyed himself.
He really did. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Other things.
Chainsaws. Sorry. Yeah. That's a moment.
Oh, okay. Indeed.
Okay, so I think Marnie looks at one of the kobolds and is, she's gonna be like, okay.
I'm sorry, I gotta mute my mic.
Yeah, mute it, that's what I'm doing. She'll look at one of the kobolds and say, you, I want you to go make sure there are baby dragons in the keep, but also I need you to go see like where the actual dragon is, because that's important, but pretend like you're there for the dragon, not for me.
Yes, that sounds lovely. We shall do.
Don't mess it up.
I just want one of you to go. And she's like giving him a very like knowing nod with like the where you point at your eyes and then point back at them. Like, I'm watching you.
So the leader of the kobolds leans over.
Yes, I love the strategy, but I think we can do better. We just have to sell it a bit more if we can, with your permission, goddess.
Marnie, after taking a moment of, are you questioning me, looks at this leader, like, softens her. He's like, okay.
No question, Mad. No question at all, goddess. This is actually more of adding on, if you will, to your plan.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm up for suggestions, but yeah, shoot.
So first thing he does, he opens up his robe and pulls out this wand.
This is a wand of where we were going to present to the Black Dragon. What we can do is still offer it to her, but we all must go together to make it look legit. Otherwise, she's going to think it's suspicious if only one of us shows up with nothing and being empty-handed. And that's why we were carrying all this contents in the robe. What happened to our contents?
We should go find it.
So you see one of the shorter kobolds standing next to one of the portlier kobolds and smacks him upside the head.
What did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
And he was like,
you have disgraced us.
And they all start to pee a little bit.
Wow. I mean, I got a pretty high, I'm proficient in intimidation.
Jeez.
Not a whole lot. Don't get me wrong. They're not gushers or anything.
They're not gushers.
It's just a cloaca.
Okay.
Marnie takes a step back, FYI.
So the kobolds come up with a plan. They go up and present themselves to the dragon. And in doing so, we'll say that y'all discuss a little bit about the children. And they will stake out the place for the kids as well.
And the baby dragons.
And the baby dragons, absolutely.
Priorities.
Marnie knows what she wants, and she's gonna get it.
Woman who can make up her mind.
And she's a goddess now, so there's no going back.
There's no going back with Marnie.
This brings great honor to the Kalagaga clan.
I love it. I absolutely love it, guys. This is gold.
Just working with what I got.
And now you have gold.
And I have all the gold now.
Do you tell us at any
You're still here?
No, I'm sneaking away just ever so slightly. Just gentle light footing.
You ruined goddess.
Okay, Yvette, you roll a d20, please.
Rolling. For a 13.
13?
13, yes.
This one is colorfully referred to as the greeting. Okay, so y'all continue on down. Kobolds let themselves go ahead a little bit, again, just in case, you know, again, to make everything look legit. Everyone's on the same page. They have their marching orders. They're going to go make this happen for the two goddesses.
To just kill the dragon. Why didn't we do that?
Well, we wanted a baby.
You're not wrong.
Suddenly, your ears ring with the whooshing of air through the canopy. Not far away, the bough of a dying oak cracks away from the trunk and crashes into the undergrowth. What little sun penetrates the woods casts the monstrous shadow of a dragon across the ground before you, and it's headed in your direction. Everybody, please roll a stealth check for hiding.
Oh, why?
That's an 8, but it was a 2 before.
I heard an 18.
An 8.
Teen? I heard 18. I'm sorry, the audio here is kind of dips.
Yeah, I know. You're starting to cut in and out. It's starting to get a little 18. Unstable. It's totally an 18. Don't worry.
It's we an got 18. You.
We got this, girl. We got this.
Everyone got 18.
Okay. All right, and everybody roll again.
That's a 17.
That's a 23 for me.
This one's a 28.
Okay. So you see this monstrous dragon fly once, circles back around, and then it just flies away. Everyone was able to stealth very well. So y'all can tell that you notice that the dragon has a few missing talons on its front left claw, and one of its horns has been shattered.
Aww.
And that's all I can say as far as that goes. Okay. we want to keep rolling an encounter, or should we just move the story forward?
Story.
I'm down for anything. I'm having a ball.
Yeah, I'll play along with whatever. Whatever okay. The DM is comfortable with.
Alrighty. Well, since you're leaving it up to me, I will give you guys a fourth encounter.
Oh, ooh, insert maniacal laughter here.
Mwahaha.
Oh, more maniacal?
or just point.
Because we can get there.
Maniacal.
I don't quite have the maniacal laughter down with this accent yet, but I'm still working on it.
Okay, so seeing as everyone's in good spirits, Yvette, roll me an acrobatics check.
Acrobatics.
Mm-hmm.
With the jumping and the leaping.
Yeah. Love it, dude.
That's going to be a 16.
With a 16, you see the sudden branch just swoop across, and you gingerly move out of its way, and you hear giggling.
Those little bastards, where are you?
And Marnie, how about you roll a constitution save throw?
Oh, no. This is going to be bad. Oh, no, it's not. It's an 18.
So y'all hear like this obnoxiously loud farting noise? And then another giggle, but because you rolled so high, everyone understands. Everyone quickly realizes it wasn't you, and you hear another giggle, and then it just you hear flutter. And Kika, roll me a perception check.
15.
Okay, with a 15, you notice ahead of you a little tripwire. You stop, you follow it along, and you notice above you is like a small. That custard pie that should fall on you. You have no idea how it got there, but there it is.
What is?
Everybody roll. Actually, no. What do y'all think? I'll let y'all RP a little bit here.
Is this food? She holds it up for Marnie and Yvette.
Marnie will stick her finger in it and taste it. Is it food? Do I die?
You do not die. It tastes like a custard pie.
Yeah, it's food. It's pretty good food. I mean, I need it.
Kika proceeds to smash it into her face hole.
Marnie's face just drops as she watches all the pie. And she can't have any.
Hold on. Okay, so Kika, roll athletics, and Marnie, roll dexterity save.
Oh, no.
Okay, I rolled a 5. I
rolled a 19.
You save the pie.
Yes! Marnie is going to save the pie. And fun fact, I have wings, therefore I can fly. I am going to fly and back up. I don't know how high I can fly. I assume that I can fly, you know, about like 6 feet off the ground. We'll go for it if y'all are cool with it. Yeah, and I would like to get myself where nobody can reach me.
So from there, with that performance there, you actually hear a bit of a chuckle now. It's very prominent. Everybody hears it. And in front of you is a green dragon. And it just starts clapping its hands together and is just very impressed. Oh, that was beautiful. Y'all were very, very cooperative. And oh my goodness, haven't had that much of a good laughter in a while. Tell you what, for being such good sports and not getting so ticked off at my trickery, I will answer 3 questions for you to help you on your way.
Okay.
Questions?
No, don't say that like it's a question. Then he'll count it.
Here's my problem. What Marty wants to ask isn't actually like, it's not like a question, like information question.
That's a question?
Go for it.
No. No, she literally wants to ask, can I have your baby dragons? But I don't want to.
I'll tell you what, I have no baby dragons per se, but funny enough, I can tell you a little about that black dragon. She's a Duskbringer. She's a real, looks left and right like there's somebody around. P-I-T-C-H. And I don't
really... She's a feisty bitch, I see.
And, you know, her politics and my politics just, you know, they clash quite a bit. She may, in fact, have 3 babies nearby. Next question.
Marnie is now eating the pie.
Children. Where are children?
Oh, you're talking about the little elvish ones that were kind of caught in the whole foray.
Yes.
Yes. Now, there's two of them. One of them seems to like books, and one would assume that she would be in the library, when in fact, they're actually in the chapel.
Mm.
Question number three.
Arnie just starts singing, going to the chapel, and I'm going to eat.
Yvette have question.
So outside of the personal politics of this black dragon of yours,
Oh, she's not mine. Definitely not mine. I don't claim that one.
Ah, good choice.
Thank
Arnie's
you.
Eyebrows raise really high. Like,
way to keep it in the tribe. But how would be the best way to infiltrate this little fortress of hers that she's got committed to guarding?
If you can sneak, you can get in easily. There are many open areas. Well, closed right now, but they can be easily opened up.
Ah, Vez, that shouldn't be a problem for me, because I'm strong.
Congratulations. Okay, I guess my work here is done.
I guess so.
it does this whole Cheshire Cat routine where it starts to slowly disappear, and you see its smile as it begins floating up and away, and then poof, it's gone.
Marnie will say, darn it, I wanted the recipe to this. And she saved half of it, in which she now shares with her friends.
Oh,
that's very quite nice of you.
What can I say? I'm a goddess. She turns around and
Yvette.
Is there any hair flipping that happens too?
Oh yeah, hardcore. Like velocity in this, you know, universe.
And this all in slow motion because you're worth it.
Yes. But also, like, I feel like high key Marnie moves in slow motion in real time. So, like, y'all just see Marnie really slowly.
And we'll say for S's and G's, you also come across the orc tribe.
Oh.
You know what? We're going to do that one. I was going to just peruse over it, but no, I'm putting y'all through that one.
Oh, no.
Now okay. Things are getting interesting.
Let me see. Anybody speak orcish? Orc?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Then anyone else?
Negatory.
Okay, everybody roll me a stealth check.
This is sneaking. That's going to be a 19.
It's a 15 for me.
25 for Kika.
Damn.
It's proficiency.
Oh, Fed, look at you.
My rolls have been so bad.
What'd you get?
Oh, no, I rolled a 7, but I got a 15 total.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've got a really nice modifier.
Yeah, use that modifier, girl. Use it.
Yeah.
So they all sneak close to the orcs' camp. Everyone is just going to sneak right on in and do a little bit of observe and report, or are going to attack?
Ooh, what should we do?
Marnie's down for observe and report, but also, like, she's really just down for whatever everybody else wants to do.
Okay.
She's high key in it for the adventure.
All right, so the leaders.
Just in case, I'm going to take out my little light hammer, and but yes, I would like to see what is going on here.
Yes.
Cool. Everyone's edging closer, and you hear, foolish whelp, we must serve. We will be the army of the worm, grunts a gruff voice from behind the trees. You have grown dumb, old man, replies a younger voice. No child of Buck Drew will kneel before the beast. I have seen the omens. You make a mistake. And y'all edge a little bit closer. And Kika, you're the one hearing all this. Everybody else hears.
Accurate.
You manage to edge closer to the voices until you can see their masters. Two battle-scarred orcs are standing off against each other in a glade surrounded by bleached, sickly trees. The first voice comes from a hulking brood of an orc with rippling musculature. The other orc, despite seeming younger and brandishing fewer scars, appears no less formidable. The rest of the orcs, all of whom have red crosses painted on their faces, watch the spat grunting in affirmation or spitting in disagreement. Let me see. Let's do a quick perception check.
Rolled a 12.
Wow. Meets it, beats it. Okay. So you can see that there are 8 orcs. You can tell with the 12. We'll go ahead and roll it. Kika, you hear one of them say Onka and Grutok. Those are the two that you're looking for. From what you gather, you can tell that they're in the middle of a discussion regarding what they're going to do. They were attacked by the elves and were about to leave the area when they saw the dragon attack. And so now they're thinking, well, shoot, let's just serve the dragon. That way we have them, that we have that creature to back us up if we give them our allegiance. And what's going on is one of them is saying, well, we shouldn't be leading anybody. That's going to be bad for us. That's going to be bad for everybody. So they're in the middle of a huge argument and something's about to happen. So what y'all are walking into now is either A, you're obviously going to have to face them along with the dragon, or convince them to attack the dragon.
Kika is not very good at persuasion as someone in our group.
That would be Marnie! I made her part rogue, part bard.
Wow.
This needs to be like a Laverne and Shirley show.
Yeah. So wait, are we in the... we're visible now?
No. Everyone's still stealthed. And you're seeing all this unfold.
I have great persuasion, but I don't speak Orcish. Can I do like a persuasion performance where I like interpretive dance the inspiration into them to join our forces?
Or could I just teach her what to say? Because she's a bard, she should be able to remember the verse I would give her.
Ooh, is there any kind of like message spell between the both of you?
That's what I was going to say.
I have the cantrip message.
Yes. Let's hear it between the both of you.
Wait.
The discussion.
Oh, yes. This pleases me.
Marnie will message and be like, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but I think that, you know, me being a goddess, I can get them to come fight the dragon.
Kika looks at her and thinks back through the spell. I can tell you that this is what you have to say. Got it?
Yup.
Can you repeat
just
that
do
for me?
The best you can.
Just do the best you can. Slap your chest and point to the dragon while you say,
yeah, can you write that down for me? And Marnie like gestures into the dirt.
Kika is slow to write, but she proceeds to do her best to phonetically put it in common for her.
Marnie goes, you the best. And like, you know, she's a confident being, but also like, there's a lot of orcs in here and like, don't want to send the wrong message. So she will stand up and kind of dust herself off. And depending on if anybody's looking her way, she'll probably like go like,
yes, like, well, that's why I have the hammer out. You ever hit somebody in the head with a ball peen hammer? It just goes pop like the weasel.
And with that, all eight orcs are now looking at Marnie.
Marnie will straighten herself up, glance down at the notes that have been so lovingly scrawled into the dirt, and then proceed to, and Jordan does not remember exactly how this went, but this is what Marnie does. She goes, and like starts like flying as she says it, like inspirationally pointing at the dragon and slamming her fist on her chest. And then she like will pause and see if they reciprocate.
Okay, roll performance.
Oh man, I'm gonna be good at this, man. Oh yes, this is gonna be great. It's 23.
This is 20.
We're gonna get through this with no combat.
They rolled a nat 20.
Is there any way I can help with me being in stealth mode and just like throw leaves up to add to the splendor?
Okay, then that makes me roll at disadvantage with a 15.
Yes! I'm living for this right now. In one moment, I'm a goddess and now leader of orcs. I'm going to change my name. Marnie will message both of them and be like, I'm going to have to change my name now.
No, you don't. Just keep it at Marnie. It's like Cher.
Wow. So that's the name of the episode now. Marnie, like, share.
That's amazing.
I'm writing it down, too.
Why am I always coming up with the titles?
Because you're good at that.
Talented.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh man, that's awesome. Okay, so now you have this band of orcs that support you.
I've
the
got
war chief.
Kobolds, I've got orcs. What do I have?
So you'll have baby dragons.
So the war chief comes over to you, Marty, and he takes out his axe. It's a great axe. It's a silver great axe. He displays it to you. He then wipes the red cross that's on his face and gives you a quick once over, and instead turns around, takes out his war paint, and he makes black wings that cover his face in your honor.
That's so cool.
He looks behind him at everybody else, and they all follow suit, pledging their allegiance to you.
We do as you command.
Oh, you guys speak common? That would have been a whole lot easier. And Marnie will, like, turn around and look back at my, like, friends, my co-conspirators, and, like, give him, like, the head nod to, like, stand up.
Kika emerges from her hiding position and approaches to stand beside Marnie.
Yes, as do I, putting away my hammer.
And they all give you the orcish salute where they stick a finger in their nose and flick a booger.
Kika reciprocates the greeting.
Oh, I definitely reciprocate this greeting.
Marnie will literally look at everybody and say, oh, ew, and then realize you two are doing it and go, oh, ew!
Oh, no! That means she's just a goddess in training.
Do you tell me that?
No, I tell the orcs that.
Oh, you don't tell me that. I'm going to assume it's a compliment to me and, like, smile and hair toss.
So they look over at Kika, asking what her name she will be called.
Marty.
And you hear them all chanting, Marty, Marty, Marty.
Man, we got to teach these guys to crowd surf. And Marty will, like,
they will do
gather.
Whatever you want. They believe you a goddess. You will lead them to victory in battle.
You know, I may be a goddess, but you guys are goddess too. Oh, man.
I am so touched right now.
Get in here for a group hug.
Marnie will group hug and then say, now let's go get some baby dragons.
Yeah.
And with that, let's pause for a beer break.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to get something to drink, too.
I have Cheez-Its. I'll be back.
Munchies!
Hey, everyone. Paul here, also known as Stunt Monkey Z, on Twitter, with your beer break. Firstly, I want to say that it's exciting that we've reached 800 followers on Twitter, and we're going to give away a copy of Dungeon Painter Studio in a future episode to one of our followers. So be sure to hashtag and retweet Dungeon Painter Giveaway in Big D. Follow, and most importantly, subscribe to our podcast. And speaking of, go check out our newest sponsor, Dungeon Painter Studio. It's a powerful encounter map design tool for both the seasoned map maker and the beginner map sketcher. It comes with a lot of features to help you create your very own world maps and any of your other map making needs. They have square and hex grid types, tile sets for indoor, outdoor, and world maps. It has customizable filters like drop shadow, glow, bevel, and tint, and many, many more different features. If you're not sure about buying it, you can try their free online version. It has limited functions, but you'll quickly discover that the full version is the way to go, and is very affordable. If you're into other TTRPG genres, Dungeon Painter Studio has you covered. Dungeon Painter Studios is available for purchase on Steam and is a smart and powerful investment for the diehard DM. And I also got to mention Common Ground Games. It's the number one D&D place of Dallas. They've got tables running D&D games almost every night of the week. If you live in the Big D area, or if you're stopping by and you want to check it out and want to sign up to play, check out their Facebook page for more information at Common Ground Game Store. They have tables running D&D games almost every night of the week. There's even an ongoing Lady Nights group just for women. If you're of the female persuasion and want a no-pressure adventure with like-minded ladies, the Lady Nights are for you. Common Ground Games. Check them out at BoardGamesDallas.com because we all have the same common ground of playing games. And with our special guest that we have for our episode, Fate and Fable Maidens is an all-women, family-friendly, actual play D&D 5th edition podcast by four friends who love goofs and games. And it's readily available wherever you get your podcast. We had a great time hanging out with Jordan for this one shot. There was a lot of editing that had to be done in this episode because we would often stop to share stories about food and experiences. It was a blast. And in the midst of having such a great time, I fanboyed yet again. First with Renee, now with Jordan. So Jordan, we forgot to thank you directly at the end of this podcast, so I'm verbalizing it right here, right now, during the beer break. Thank you so much for playing Warriors of Sehenine with us. We wish you all the success in the new year and beyond. And speaking of Warriors of Sehenine, it was created by the powerhouse trinity of Florian Emmerich, Ashley Warren, and JVC Perry. We still have quite a bit left to play in this episode, but it's readily available for purchasing at DM's Guild right now. Get your copy for your tabletop. This adventure is very much worth your hard-earned cash. All right, that's about all the announcements that I have here. Don't forget to enter our giveaway, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Thank you very much.
All right.
Holy crap, I remembered I have kids, and they have Cheez-Its. So now I have Cheez-Its, too.
Yes!
Yeah, it's a little, you know, snack pack ones, but yeah. You
what? Oh, still worth it. I was like, we're in the same soul space right now.
It feels that way. It really does.
Renee's my food soulmate.
Oh, really?
I'm excited, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I was talking with my friend, Matt Hoadley, who I do a Twitch
Matt Hoadley?
Channel with. Yeah.
I don't know him. I just want to sound like I knew him.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, you know Matt? No. So we do a Twitch streaming channel, and we were talking the other day about how cool it would be to have like a bar that is TTRPG. Like you go and you play TTRPGs and just drink and hang out, and like you can dress up or not.
I know there's a spot. I want to say it's in Fort Worth, I think, or it might be Grapevine. I don't remember exactly where, but that's exactly what they do. They actually have waiters and waitresses who will bring you a game to your table, and they will explain the basic rules of the game to you.
I want that in my life so bad.
Yeah, I think that's in Grapevine.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm taking a trip to the Metroplex.
Welcome aboard.
I've got to go to Dallas anyway because we're flying out of Dallas to go to PAX Unplugged.
Oh, that's in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah. But it was cheaper to fly out of Dallas than Lubbock. So, road trip.
So, are the other Fable Maidens there in Lubbock with you?
Yeah, so actually Laura, who plays Winnie, it lives T-minus 2 minutes down the street from me. I have a key to her apartment. And then Samantha lives 5 minutes away from us. So, yeah, and we're all in the same.
Samantha plays
Twiddle. And they've just been rocking it ever since. So
yeah, okay.
I'm kind of thankful just for the sheer fact that I get to be part of it now. Everybody is very passionate about it and very positive and very, there are big dreams for a little, well, what was a little podcast and now is kind of really cool. no, it'll be good. So.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I'm very happy for y'all. I'm very excited for y'all. And obviously, I'm a huge fan of the show and everything. And just seeing the development and the pull that y'all have with each other, it's awesome. You know, it's great. It's so magical. Yeah. Yeah. You know, obviously, I can sit here and compliment your show the entire time. And I would love to just, you know, talk about it. You know, and please, if you feel to do so, please do. You know, just interject like, oh, I remember this one time we were all sitting around. Whatever story you have.
It's so cool. Like I don't think I've ever done a project on a professional level with people that I felt connected to in the way that I feel connected to these girls. And so that is a crazy experience and a very positive one. So, and y'all, you're too sweet. So like y'all are wonderful and I'm really excited to like have opportunities like this. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's a blessed life.
Well, we still got to face the dragon, but if it all works out, I mean, you're more than welcome to come back.
Yeah.
I'm only coming back if I get a baby dragon. I'm kidding.
You get a baby dragon? You get a baby dragon? Yeah, no. Okay, everyone's back from break then?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So, Chapter 3, Ravenglade Keep is the home of the Warriors of Sehenine. You emerge from the woods into a large clearing. The stream flows thick and fast here, and the sound of cascading water echoes against the tree wall. Striking up from the sky in the center of the clearing is a magnificent a magnificent butt. I know it's butte, but I like saying butt.
Yes!
Yeah, we had another session where there was another butte, and I just kept calling it the butt.
And you still do the laugh like it's Beavis and Butt.
It's the little little things, really.
It really is. Oh my goodness. I mispronounce a ton of stuff intentionally and it never catches on, but butt seems to stick every time.
Butt stick.
Shut up, baby.
Oh my goodness. Okay, where are we? Let's see. Striking up from the skies, the magnificent butte. The sides of the rocky outcrop have eroded over time and from the flowing water, giving it the appearance of a sitting raven. A waterfall surges down from the top of the butte and pours into a loch halfway up the cliff face. Standing before the loch is Ravenglade Keep, a remarkable feat of elven architecture, barely visible through the spray of the falls. The wooden fortress is decorated with spires, twisting towers, and masterfully worked wood. Where the loch overflows, the water passes beneath the keep and out over the edge of the cliff, falling another half mile into the stream below. Despite the majesty of the scene, it's clear that the keep is damaged. A gaping hole in the central roof marks the point of the black dragon's attack. Everybody roll a stealth check.
Stealth.
Sneaking.
Ooh. Yvette got a 28.
Yvette, 28. Marnie got a what?
24.
Oh, Kika?
13.
All right. And the black dragon got a solid, very strong 3.
So, don't give me the opportunity to persuade them. I will take it.
Because she's learned she's very good.
I'm a goddess, a leader of orcs. Nothing can stop me now.
Don't stop me now.
Such a good time.
Having a ball. Okay, sorry.
And for the sake of gameplay, don't humble her at all.
Okay, so what y'all see is that the orcs actually had fixed some of the gaps between the bridges and everything, so it makes quick work for everyone to get across and directly into the keep itself. Let's say y'all fast forward to the Chapel of Sehanim. Sitting on a ledge a little lower than the main keep is a circular chapel, beautifully decorated with a myriad of wooden sculptures and ornamentation, beautiful ivy that twists throughout the architecture or cover the entire structure. As you near the chapel, you hear the sound of children's voices from within.
Children?
They go quiet as soon as they hear you.
Did it's you okay. guys hear that?
Yeah.
Should we go in? Or is it a trap?
Let's go for it. The dragon dude said that they would be in the chapel, so I don't know how many dragons you've trusted in your day, but I haven't trusted any, so might as well.
I mean, he gave you a pie, right?
Yeah, no. Anybody who gives you pie can't be lying.
These are tactics I learned as a child.
I gave
my mom always used to tell me don't take pie from strangers, but she was wrong.
Because that was damn good pie.
Great pie.
What does a chapel look like?
I just described it.
Are we in it?
You're walking in it. Yes, you're walking through the threshold, and you see two small kids about to duck through like a broken area of like this brickwork.
Persuasion.
Roll it.
No.
Well, you have to roll it.
I know I do, but.
Well, I will say this. Okay, does Kika want to roll it, or does the bard want to roll it?
I'm asking if the bard, who's obviously queen of persuasion right now.
You know I would love to persuade.
She's all giddy about it, too.
I literally have 5 levels in rogue. I have 3 in bard. I should have just made this character a bard. We don't talk about it.
There's always the future.
Okay. Literally, Marnie's first instinct is just to yell, I know your mom. So that's what I'm going to yell.
Roll it.
And, you know, I yell it with such fervor that I rolled a 13. I know your mom.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was eating Cheez-Its.
Oh, it's so worth it. No regrets.
You're on a cliffhanger, man.
Okay. With a 13, they book it out of there.
Aw, man.
Ah, these little
I'm
bastards.
I'm sorry.
Can we follow?
You sure can.
Marnie, muttering under her breath, jeez, which people would just listen to goddesses, like, jeez, I worked so hard for this title, it's not gonna listen to me, like, oh, whatever, fine, I'm going.
Well, since persuasion didn't work, we could probably just knock them out, and then we can get some of your kobold friends to just take them out of here and then send them home.
Yvette, maybe let's not hurt the children.
It's just not gonna hurt, not forever.
Yeah, okay.
Alright, so everybody follows the kids into the library. What do y'all want to do?
Are they hiding?
Well, they're kind of cornered. They're not really hiding. They can't hide.
Can they see me?
I see all three of you. These three strange women that know her, that know their mom.
Very well. I will roll for persuasion.
No, hold on. Marnie, you what?
Oh, no, sorry. I was grabbing my notebook because Jordan couldn't remember their names. I figured that might be slightly important. No, but I would love to watch Yvette roll for persuasion. I think that would be fabulous.
All right, what are you
going to
do?
Rolling for persuasion. So I'm just going to tell these little children, we came across your mother, presumably your father, and just some of your elven clan members. They said that they left you here, and we were tasked with bringing you back to Baldur's Gate. Do you have any idea where that is?
Our father died in the attack.
Well, sucks to be him. But I'm here to help you.
Okay, roll a disadvantage with that remark.
Very well.
Bastard.
I just had to bring a little bit of me into it.
No, you didn't, but you had to go there, dude.
Otherwise, how can they tell it's me?
Your voice.
This is
yeah,
true.
Everything you do. Yeah.
I know, right? Jesus. All right, so the first roll is a 24.
Not bad.
And the second roll
is a 2.
You wish. It's a 19.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of look at you sideways. Well, we don't appreciate what you said about our father, but you seem like a straight arrow, so sure. What the heck?
Well, to compensate you, would you like a couple of gold pieces, the both of you?
They pull out their pouches, and they have gems that are worth like 1,000 gold each. No,
Marnie
thanks.
Marnie pulls out her pouch and wants the gold pieces.
What is this, tithe for the goddess?
If I say yes, can I have it?
Oh, very well.
Yes.
And I'm going to grab 4 gold pieces and I'm going to drop them into her little pouch with such force that I'm going to need a sleight of hand check because the kinetic energy is going to make all of the other gold pieces jump out and I can just grab all.
Wow. Everything's going wrong.
I kid. You can have it.
As you roll sleight of hand.
As I roll sleight of hand.
Don't pick a fight with a goddess. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Kika's a little confused, so she's just watching everything happen, thinking about pie.
So everybody's walking out of the library and into the main courtyard of the keep when y'all hear screaming, y'all hear utter chaos. What y'all see is this large dragon surrounded by 4 orcs where the other 4 have been slaughtered, and y'all see some kobolds, only 2 of them at this point, and they're all doing their best to keep stabby stabby pokey pokey at Duskbreamer.
So proud.
What do y'all want to do?
Where are the orcs?
They're attacking they're engaged with the dragon right now.
I'd like to take like 2 seconds just to admire my minions doing my bidding. Just bask in that glory for a minute. And then are we going to let them handle this, or are we going to go handle this? Because I think they're doing great.
My name is Paul, and that's between y'all. What do y'all want to do? What do y'all want to do?
I'm thinking.
What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do it.
Okay, Lucy.
Love that show.
It's so good.
It is.
It is. Yeah, we're talking about our favorite theater performances.
Yeah.
Performed on the weekly.
I dabble in the theater.
I figured as a bard, I've been trying to educate myself.
I like to work up in the rafters, though, with, like, the lights and stuff. I like to play, like, the phantom of the theater.
I like the stories.
Nobody's fallen in love with me yet, though, so working on that.
It will happen someday.
And I like to go into sneak mode and get a good vantage point up against the dragon, behind the dragon.
Roll for stealth.
You're not going to steal all the stuff out of its, like, pockets?
I can sure try.
Dragon pockets.
We call those pouches. That is going to be a... Oh, what is that? 22.
22.
22. Ooh. Meets it, beats it. She sees you. And decides to attack with her acid breath in your direction. Make me a DC 14 dexterity saving throw.
Oh, wait, no. I just realized I can't even do that. I'm not an assassin type.
Oh.
I'm so used to playing other rogues, not this kind of rogue. But anyway, I'm beating a 14.
Yeah.
Okay. And I beat it with a 16.
Okay.
Yes.
So now you only take half acid damage.
And I would like to use Uncanny Dodge to go ahead and half that.
No, you can only do one or the other, dude.
What are you talking about? Fine. All right.
Totally kidding, man. Hold on.
I was about to say.
Everyone's like, wow, I didn't know there were going to be trolls in this game.
Dude, what a beard.
Let's see. That's 24 points of damage. Halved is 12. Halved of that is 6.
Thank God. That's beautiful.
And it does damage to your armor.
Oh, man.
Little steam just... And... Okay, so while everybody was talking, I kept rolling for combat, and that was the last thing that she was able to do before she fell to the orcs, and she ate one of the kobolds in the process.
Aww. Not my babies!
And let's see, Marnie, roll me a religion check.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was a nat one.
A 21?
No, yep, that was it. It was that one. That one was the one.
Nice roll.
Okay, you wouldn't have done better if you tried.
But really.
Okay, so with a 21, you notice that in the back, there are, in fact... 5 black baby dragons.
I might cry. Marnie says that, and Jordan says that. Both of us say it.
Ooh, you know what? No, I'm going to make it a lot more interesting. 5 dragon eggs.
Can I carry? How big are they? Can I carry them all?
How big are dragon eggs? Hand?
you know, an army to help you carry them.
But do I trust the army who thinks I'm a goddess? Now, I know I'm fabulous, but honestly.
And they're all occupied with the dragon right now.
There's enough for all of us to have baby dragons. And also, like, enough for all of us to have, like, more than one baby dragon. Well, most of us to have more than one baby dragon.
I'm leaving it up to y'all.
I'm going to carry as many as I can.
Okay.
I do not want a dragon, thank you.
Okay, so sell me how you're going to do it.
Well, did we determine how big they are, or are they, like... You know, like Harry Potter golden egg sized dragon eggs? Or are they bigger than that?
let's say Harry Potter sized.
All right, get this. I am going to use Mage Hand to carry one of them delicately. And I'm going to grab... Wow, I really got to think this through. Well, I have like a bag on, so I guess I'll stick one in the bag because... That'll work. And I'm gonna shove one up my shirt like a pregnancy belly and like tuck my shirt into my pants and then grab the other two. Okay. I think I've done it, guys. She turns around. Wait, did I get all of them? There's one more left, isn't there?
There's one, yes.
Oh, no.
Kika goes ahead and picks up the other egg for her. I will carry this for you, Marnie.
Thank you.
All right, give me an athletics check.
Oh, no. Can I do acrobatics instead? No, I'm kidding.
Wait, do you want me to roll or her to roll?
You can do acrobatics if you're actually going to juggle the eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Deal.
But But
he's gonna carry him the whole way.
I'll say this, but if you get lower than a 7, 2 of them crack.
I literally can't get lower than a 7. I'm acrobatically inclined.
Natural 1.
That's gonna be a 21.
Okay.
What do you know?
2 in a row.
Nice.
I'm so magical.
This is your night.
You actually make all that fun stuff happen you just described.
Thank you. Maybe I should join the circus. New plan. I have baby dragons. Let's go.
Okay, then we will say huzzah. You are able to defeat the dragon without even doing anything. Let everyone else do all the work for you with all the persuasions that y'all did. And you return the kids to their mama.
Yay!
Leah is understandably overjoyed when her children are returned, although she has little to offer y'all by way of reward. However, Alar, seeing the great efforts that y'all have gone through to rescue the kids, relinquishes Moonpetal to you.
And I will give one of the baby dragons to the children and tell them to take care of it. They have a pet.
Oh my.
Wow. They're like, this thing's mother killed our father. Absolutely, we'll take care of it.
Marnie has instant regret. You just see it flash in her eyes. But the deed is done.
End scene. Right there. Cool. Right, you just made some serial killers. Great job.
Yeah, for real. Like, this is like a chapter 2 I don't know if we want to read yet.
Alrighty then. Thank you everybody for hanging out for a bit and knocking this one out of the ballpark. Y'all did amazing. Y'all did terrific. And Marnie is officially a goddess now.
Thank you, Marnie.
Oh. Followed by kobolds and orcs everywhere throughout the
world. She's not just a fad. She's here to stay.
Yeah.
She's here to stay. Cool. All right, gang. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Night, everyone.
Right. Good night. See y'all later.
Yep. Bye. All right. Until next time.